All the grown-ups may be seated. Hi, everybody. Glad to see you. Do you know what this is? No one knows what it is because it's his. It looks like a truck, doesn't it? Looks like a big truck. Well, it is actually a truck that becomes Optimus Prime, the Great Transformer. Look at that. You know the Transformers, right? You've seen the... Now he's a big, strong, happy dude. And Optimus Prime is the good guy, right, Noah? He's the one who comes in and saves everybody and does all sorts of good. So I was thinking about Optimus Prime. There, now I have his legs right. I'm sure, like, his arms go out and stuff, but I was thinking about Optimus Prime and the Transformers because he starts off as just an ordinary truck. Looks like any other truck on the interstate. But then this power comes into him and he becomes this great hero who does a lot of good in the world. Well, in our Bible study this morning, we see Peter and John. You know, they're two of Jesus' disciples. And they're just ordinary guys. They didn't know how to read and write. They were just fishermen. But the power of the Holy Spirit came into them. And then in the story we heard today, they healed a man who couldn't walk. And Peter started preaching, and all these amazing things started happening through them. So it reminds me that God can really help us to be stronger and help us to be more loving and help us to do good things in the world. God can really transform us too. We may not end up looking like Optimus Prime, but we can do a lot of good in the world. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have the power to transform us and to transform our world. You can make us better people, more loving, more bold, more courageous. And you can make this world more loving and more just and more peaceful. Thank you for that power. In Jesus' name, amen. Noah, I'm going to give you back Optimus Prime because you can put him back together and I'm not sure I can. Thank you so much for letting me borrow him. And while the children are returning to their seats, I wanted to, the announcement that was made about your clergy staff was not quite complete. We have Nancy Parker, who is one quarter time here at West End and three quarter time at Wesley Foundation, and she is returning to that work as well. And of course, we know Becky Peeler is retiring from our children's ministry. Lisa Guak is our other deacon, and the bishop has also re-upped her appointment, so all good news. So I wanted to say that before we delved in this morning. And before we delve into the scripture passage for this morning, I want to go back in time just a little bit. So the scripture tells us this episode of Peter and John healing a man at the gate of the temple. But if we go back in time, we might remember Peter and John were not always so confident, not always so faith-filled. In those early days when they were following Jesus, they often didn't get it. You remember that time when all the disciples were in a boat together and a storm came up and they looked out and they saw Jesus walking toward them on the water? And Peter said, "Jesus, if it is you, let me step out of the boat and walk on the water toward you." And so he scrambled out of the boat and he took a step and he took another step. But then he got scared, and he started to doubt whether this was really possible, and he sank. And Jesus, of course, rescued him and pulled him out of the water and said, "Why did you doubt?" Or maybe you remember that time when the disciples were trying to heal a young man who was possessed by a demon, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came, and he healed the young man, and then he said, "Why did you doubt?" Or we all remember how the disciples ran off into the darkness the night that Jesus was arrested. And on that very first Easter morning, they were all huddled together in a locked room. because they were afraid. They thought they were going to get arrested and be dragged in front of the authorities. And Jesus, the risen Christ, came to them and said, "Do not be afraid. My peace I give you." And now, look at them. Look at Peter and John. Now that Jesus has been raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit has come upon them on the day of Pentecost, they look like different people. Right after the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is the very first story that Luke tells us in the book of Acts. Peter and John go to the temple to pray, and they see a man who's been lame from birth, never walked a day in his life, and he's asking them for money. And the two of them look at him, and they say to him, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Not a moment's hesitation, not a moment's doubt, it seemed. They knew in that moment they could say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk," and the man would stand up and walk. And not only that, they get inside the temple and a crowd is gathered because of this incredible miracle, and Peter sees an opportunity and he starts preaching. And very boldly and publicly, he tells everybody in the temple about Jesus and how Jesus is the Messiah who was crucified and has been raised from the dead. Now, that's where our text ended that Sue read for us, but the story goes on. The religious authorities, the captains of the temple and the Sadducees and the priests, get word of what has happened. They find out that two followers of Jesus have healed someone in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that they are preaching in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and they thought they had put an end to Jesus of Nazareth. It's not over. And so they drag Peter and John before the council. They arrest them. And now Peter and John aren't scared of that at all. And they stand before the council and they speak boldly in the name of Jesus the Christ who is risen. And it says in chapter 4 of Acts that all the leaders on the council were astounded at these men because they knew they were ordinary, uneducated men. And here they stood in all boldness, unafraid. And it wasn't just Peter and John who were transformed in this story. We also have the man who had been lame from birth, whose life has been totally reborn and transformed. Never once in his life was he able to walk. There were some people of compassion who would carry him to the temple and lay him at the gate so that he could get money from people. But all his life he had been marginalized, invisible, neglected by the people. And now, through the power of the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit, he has been healed, not only physically, but now for the first time in his life, he can go into the temple and he can worship with all of God's people. He's included now, and his life has been changed forever. This is a powerful story of transformation. Transformation is a big word that we use in the church. The mission statement of the United Methodist Church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our mission statement as West End United Methodist Church is live the light, the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. We are people who believe in transformation. That we can be transformed, that the world can be transformed by the love of Christ. And so I planned to step out here this morning and preach all about transformation and give you all these examples of transformation. And as I got ready to prepare my sermon, that wasn't my state of mind. I was more like Peter trying to walk on water. Not quite sure I have the faith to believe in the power of Christ to transform. Some of that comes from just experiences and conversations I've had over the past couple of weeks. Struggling with some of my own issues that I deal with and dysfunction in my family that seems never to get resolved, and I just think, oh, it's never going to change. It's always going to be the same pattern. Or talking with a friend of mine who's a pastor in another state who's really struggling in his church. He's been there for just a few years, and people have been really mean-spirited to him and arguing with each other and focused inward on little petty battles within the church and not even thinking about being in mission and ministry out in the community. And he's really discouraged and wondering if things will ever change. Or not opening the newspaper, but opening my phone and looking at my headlines and seeing again and again how the poor are being forgotten and violence is happening in our neighborhoods and in our world, and just thinking, I don't know if transformation is happening or if it's possible. I don't know, God. But as I sat in that place of skepticism and doubt, there was a little movement of the Spirit that nudged me and said, maybe your doubt is the problem. Maybe your skepticism is getting in the way. Maybe you need to have more faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform. Don't you remember? Don't you remember standing in the chapel at Riverbend Prison with 50 inmates and praising God and worshiping God and standing at that communion table together? See, it used to be that once a month, just about, I would go to Riverbend and lead the 8 o'clock worship service there. It was a ministry that started when Bill Miller was pastor at my previous church, and Bill Miller still goes every month. And James Sewell goes the next Sunday of the month. And every Sunday, there's communion. So every Sunday, these men hear the words, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And they're offered the bread and the cup, and they're told that they have a place at the table. And some of those men, not all of them, but some of them, have written me letters or told me in person that they are changed men. That consistent invitation to the table, that consistent reminder of God's grace has changed how they treat other people and how they treat themselves. It's transformation. Or I think about my friend Ingrid McIntyre, who I talk about all the time, but grew up a preacher's kid in the Methodist church, moving around with her dad and her family, going to Sunday school, doing what she was supposed to do. She was a youth minister for a while and then was working at the Board of Discipleship. And then in May of 2010, the floods hit Nashville. And for some reason, she felt led to go down by the river to where Tent City was, that place where a lot of our homeless neighbors had made their home. It was devastated, covered in water. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, she had the courage and the boldness to give up her job, to give up everything, and pour her life into those neighbors. And now she leads Open Table Nashville, a ministry that has transformed, I don't know how many lives, the lives of people who've been given a place to live and a new start, who've been treated with dignity, changed Ingrid's life. And a few months ago, I went to the groundbreaking for the tiny village that they're working on. I've talked about that a little bit before. And the vice mayor, who is now our mayor, David Briley, was there. And he was talking about how the ministry of Open Table had changed him as one of our community leaders. The transformation of the world through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I think about what God has done even in me. I've always been someone who does not like conflict. In fact, I run from it. I don't like confrontation. I have a really hard time saying anything that's less than positive to someone. And even in the way I worded that, you can tell how uncomfortable I am saying things that might offend. But a couple of years ago, I was taking a class with some clergy colleagues, and we were talking about the prison system and a lot of our systems and health care and all of that. And one of my colleagues was talking about the two small churches he serves in West Tennessee. The hospital is closed now, and most of the people in his congregations have no health care. And there were people who were suffering with a cancer diagnosis of kidney stones and a lot of chronic pain who wouldn't go to the doctor because they couldn't pay for it. And then he said, we need to go to the legislature and lobby for health care for everybody. And I was like, I think I got a thing on that day. I can't do that. That's not me. I'm not that bold. And yet, through his invitation and gentle pushing, I went with this group of pastors, and I found myself sitting in the office of one of our senators and talking about what I cared about. And as I left, I thought, who would have thought that I could do that? And it wasn't me doing that. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, this story of Peter and John and the man at the temple is a powerful reminder that our God is changing the world, that our God's deepest desire is to transform us and to transform our world. And let us never underestimate what God can do in our lives, in us, to us, and through us in our world. Amen.